Hey everybody, it's Juan Rubin, and this is A1 Rediscovering Film, and it's been a long time. Couple of things. First of all, I want to thank everyone who has expressed their support, their concern, and their good wishes as I continue to go through all this stuff that I'm going through right now, trying to get things back in order. These things have necessitated some changes. I've had to step away from even shooting film, and even to the point where I am forced to put up for sale my precious A1 that I swore I would never give up. But it's something that I have to do right now, and the good thing is that if I do sell the A1, down the road I hope to get back to things, and you know what the first camera is I'm going to look for. Anyway, the reason I'm back is because, well, a couple things. The first thing is, I noticed, after having been away for a while, that folks were still listening to the podcast. And I really appreciate that. If it means that what I've recorded up to this point has been of some value or interest or even just simple entertainment, I really appreciate that, because I was hoping that I could reach out and share my experiences as a newbie photographer, an old guy newbie photographer, if you will. A lot of folks get into this thing into photography at a young age, and while I was doing, you know, stuff casually before, I never considered it as either a serious hobby or even potentially an avocation. But something out of under my skin and captured my interest about 2 years ago, and I started researching things, and of course that led to one thing after another, leading to my first film camera purchases online. A Canon A1 was the first camera I bought, and I immediately connected with it, and of course you know the rest of that story from my previous podcasts if you're a regular listener, or if you've listened to my other recordings. Today I'm going to talk about a couple of things. One of those things is not related to film photography at all. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do the film stuff up front, and if you want to continue on and listen to the rest, feel free to do that. I hope you will, but if you don't think it'll be of any value, that's fine too. But the film stuff I think might be helpful, especially since, if you recall, again, if you've listened to my other podcasts, I did a series of recordings based on my experience on eBay when I was trying to cut down on my film camera collection, and also put some other stuff online. And just I wanted to talk about my experiences with eBay, both as a buyer and a seller. I've since discovered another outlet for selling used gear, also purchasing gear, and I want to share that with you because I think that that might be a better way if you are able to take advantage of it. So the other thing I'm going to talk about is related to music, and because of that, I mean, the reason for that is that I was inspired by another podcaster, in fact the podcaster that inspired me to begin doing a film photography podcast, and that's the good folks over at Negative Positives, Mike Gutterman and Andre Dominguez. So let's first start with the film stuff, and going to be some updated advice on how, if you're looking to sell off some cameras, and also if you're looking to purchase some gear, another outlet that I discovered that has been much more successful than eBay. So let's talk about the film stuff, and if you got some old gear that you want to get rid of, best way to do it, at least from what I've discovered. And you know, I pulled my hair out over eBay, over the back and forth and the weird things and the little fine print and things that they don't show you up front when you start selling. It was easier buying things. I mean, before I got into doing the film photography thing, buying things on eBay was no big deal. There are a couple of things that I purchased both at auction and also fixed pricing, and it was very smooth. So you kind of think it's going to be just as smooth when you're a seller, but then here come the gotchas. And of course, I've chronicled those earlier, so I'm not going to go back into that. But what I discovered was, as I was looking for a faster, better way and cheaper way to sell my film cameras, is I discovered a couple of apps. And maybe you're familiar with them, maybe you know all about these, so if I'm not telling you anything new, you can skip this. But for those of you who might be interested, there are two apps that I've been using. One of them is called OfferUp, and the other is called LetGo. And basically what you do is you list your items, take some pictures, and hopefully you have a better phone than I do, which I'm also using to record this podcast. And you arrange to meet the potential buyer, either at your place, their place, or a safe place in between, and you work out the transaction. Usually they recommend that you, you know, only accept cash. Recently, though, the OfferUp app has a shipping component, so you can actually ship your gear to them, and once the payment from the buyer is confirmed, you ship it to them, and you pay a small fee for that convenience. It's a lower price than eBay shipping prices and listing prices. There are no listing prices on either of these apps, OfferUp or LetGo. You can do all this for free if you just sell locally. I have I've sold a couple cameras that way, using mainly OfferUp. I think I did one sale on LetGo, but the others have been on OfferUp, and met some really interesting people because they are, like myself, film photography enthusiasts, either newbies like me or more experienced ones who know a little something about what they're purchasing in advance, so it's not that hard to sell. And their enthusiasm, each of these folks that I met, kind of inspired me and made me wish that I could still be doing this, but right now I can't. But I felt good, even though I hated to sell the cameras, any of them. You know, you have that sort of reluctance as you're letting go of it, like the Minolta Hi-Matic AF2. You know, you think, well, boy, yeah, he's pointing shoot cameras, you know, they're so hard. It's so hard to find ones that are working perfectly or near perfectly, especially when the autofocus point and shoots with the built-in flash. I mean, a lot of times the flash doesn't work, but and then you get it, and you can still take pictures, but you can't use the flash, even though I almost have never used flash since I started doing film photography. But anyway, it felt good to sell to people who I knew were going to use these cameras. It was really cool because their enthusiasm was infectious, especially the most recent one. I sold one of my rangefinders, my Minolta Hi-Matic E, to a guy who lives in India and spends time here in the States also. And he was real excited to have a film camera again because he had left most of his cameras back home in India. And so he was really excited to get the Hi-Matic E, and he even sent me a note afterwards saying he'd taken some pictures using the camera and he's real, real impressed with the results. So that's definitely a good feeling. Whereas when you sell on eBay and you go through all this crap and then you sell the gear and you ship it off and you never know what's going to happen. But in this case, you get some immediate feedback, and thankfully it's been positive. It was real satisfying to use OfferUp and LetGo to sell not just cameras. I've sold some other stuff too. An old laptop, an old saxophone that was collecting dust. I'm an old saxophone player. Emphasis on old. I hadn't used the horn in a while, but I was able to actually sell the saxophone. And this lady was buying it for her son, and she brought her son with her when she picked up the sax. And so I gave him a lesson. It was really, really a cool thing. Very, very cool to engage with the folks who are buying your stuff. And then get positive feedback later on that, too. Because I actually got the kid, he's like, 10 years old and had never touched a saxophone, but he was interested. And, get him to set up the horn and got him a nice fresh reed on the mouthpiece and everything, and actually got him to blow a couple notes. So pretty cool. So if you're looking again to either buy or sell gear, I highly recommend OfferUp and LetGo, because again, you get that live interaction that you don't get when you're just shipping stuff off into the void over eBay. So try them out, see if they work for you. I don't get anything for this. I'm not being paid by them or anything like that. It's just something that I have personal experience with, and I thought I'd share that with you, and hopefully that will alleviate some of the headaches you've had trying to sell via eBay or other outlets. Coming up next is my segment on music. So again, if all you were looking for was film photography related stuff, that's about it, although it might come up in the next segment. But if you want to hang on and listen to the music stuff, I hope you do. I hope you will. It's an interesting story, and I want to thank Mike Gutterman and Andre Dominguez for inspiring it. So that'll be up next. So I guess I want to start this segment out with an apology, because it occurs to me that depending on where you are in the U.S., it's winter. And it's been pretty cold and snowy and nasty in large parts of the country. Well, okay, here's the apology. It's January 22nd. As I record this, and I'm sitting outside in the yard in San Diego, California, recording this on my phone. I'm sorry, guys and gals, because I'm a native of Chicago, and I know what it's like to experience real winter, and this is about as winter as it gets in San Diego, so there's my apology. Sorry. Okay, enough of that. Again, thanks to Mike Gutterman, especially Mike, and of course Andre Dominguez, because he is the co-host on most of the Negative Positives Film Photography podcast. And not only does Andre have an interest in film photography, but he has also recently gotten into vintage watches, which I find very, very fascinating. Sorry, Mike, if you're listening to that, but I do find that fascinating. But to you, Mike, it's because of your most recent podcast, and actually not the most recent, but the previous one, podcast number 199.75, not 199.85. I haven't listened to that one yet, but I'm going to as soon as I finish recording. I promise you that. If the rest of you aren't familiar with Negative Positives, the film podcast, it's a great podcast and you must listen to it. You must, because Mike inspired me to do a one rediscovering film. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. Mike recently shared on podcast 199.75, they're heading toward podcast 200, and I guess they're having a big giveaway. And I'm not sure what that entails as far as what the giveaway is going to be, but it's kind of cool. And those of you who are regular listeners to Mike's podcast, Mike and Andre's podcast, congratulations in advance to whoever wins that big giveaway. But anyway, Mike's a musician, and Mike shared on his most recent podcasts, the most recent two, music from his bands that he's been involved with. And I listened to 199.75, and I'm going to listen, as I said, to the other one afterwards, after I'm done with this one, with mine. And I was impressed. I was really impressed with your music, Mike. Shout out to you. I mean, really. Sometimes you hear about people who have interest in music, and you listen to their music, you know, sometimes it's really good, it's a revelation. Sometimes it's, you know, okay, nice effort, and you move on. But Mike, your music really intrigued me and sucked me in. And the only thing I would wish for were maybe some vocals. I think that would have, you know, been the finishing touch on some really, really cool compositions and arrangements and some solid, very solid musicianship. Music has always been my passion. I grew up in a musical household. My mother sang opera. She was a soprano. And we would listen to classical music on Sundays after church. We'd come home from church and do chores and no television. My mother would put on a symphony or opera or something either on the radio or on the record player. And we'd listen to that music. And I love that music. I just love being... And of course, my mother would sing too, you know, casually around the house. And listening to her voice was just always so soothing and wonderful and fascinating and made me smile. And I became a musician because of her. And my oldest sister was a... worked for a long time as a talent manager in the music business. And of course, she started out when she was a kid. She used to sneak out of the house and go to the Regal Theater on the south side of Chicago and catch all the big R&B and blues acts and Motown acts that would come through. She was not a musician, although she did play clarinet in her high school band. Interestingly enough, I ended up going to the same high school many years later. A little difference, distance between us in age, almost 10 years, actually. I picked up saxophone because I was always fascinated by saxophone. I mean, I worshipped at the altar of John Coltrane and Charlie Parker and Junior Walker, and I always wanted to play saxophone, and I finally got the chance to do that in high school, and took to it like a duck to water. I mean, I brought the horn home for the first time and drove my family crazy because I did not stop playing it over the weekend. I got on a Friday, didn't stop playing until Monday morning, honestly, when I went back to school. And I just like practiced like a son of a gun, like a madman, and was way ahead of the rest of the beginning band class in high school, and to the point where the band director would encourage me to hang out with some of the more experienced musicians, and I did that, and I learned a lot from them and really had fun doing stuff musically. Now, here's my story, and this, because, you know, Mike is recording this music and still involved with music, and I'm years away from it, but this just brought back some real great memories of high school, and I want to share the story of how I became a musician, a semi-pro, I mean, pro in the sense of getting paid for my musicianship, such as it was. I had been barely playing saxophone for a year. I was 16 years old, and I was walking to school, and had my horn with me. I was about a block away from the school. I was in the intersection, I mean, literally, like, just across the street from the school. And this car pulls up. It's an old Oldsmobile 98. It was blue with a black vinyl top. had seen better days, but it was still running. And the car stopped at the intersection. And I'm waiting because, you know, it was a stop sign, not a stop light. And all of a sudden, the driver's window rolls down. And the guy in the driver's seat looks up at me and says, "Hey man, can you play that thing?" And of course, you know, I'm 16 years old. And when you're 16, you just think you're indestructible. And or you're a world beater. And like I said, I had been practicing like a maniac. And I looked at him and I said, "Yeah, I can play this thing." He says, "Would you be interested in joining a band?" I'm like, "Huh? Why? Who? And he hands me a business card. He says, "My name is Greg, and I'm looking for horn players." And I said, "Well, that's cool, but I might need to talk to my parents first." Because I always looked older for my age, so he might have thought I was older. I'm not sure at the time. And he says, "Well, how old are you?" I said, "Well, I'm a student here at the high school, and I'm, you know, 16 years old." He says, "Well, talk to your parents. See if they'll let you, you know, get in the band. The band is managed by my dad. He is a, and he's a teetotaling Baptist, and he's a church-going man, and he'll make sure that you won't get in any trouble or anything like that." And I said, "Well, okay, all right, cool." So, went on to school. That night when I got home, I told my mother about it, and she says, I explained everything to her, and I had given Greg my number, so, And so I said, well, what do you think? She says, well, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. The guy just pulled up in a car. You know, he could be anybody. I mean, you just got to be careful about those kinds of things. So anyway, a couple days, no, it was that night, actually, that very night, phone rings. And my mother answers the phone. And she's talking for several minutes, and I'm not thinking anything of it. I figure, well, it's a phone call, one of her friends, you know. And she gets off the phone and she says, you gotta join that band. I said, what? She says, that was Greg's father. He called and he wanted to talk to me and reassure me that, you know, he would make sure that you didn't get in any trouble or anything like that. He'd watch out for me. He was very, very reassuring. And so go ahead and try this band out. And I said, okay, Mom. So we arranged to go to, arranged to, you know, go to a rehearsal. And they said, well, we'll pick you up. I said, okay, fine. So a couple days later, a van pulls up, an old Dodge van. And this van was in worse shape than the old 98. But still, it was running, right? So Greg was driving, and in the van with him was the guitar player. His name was Leonard. And they say, hey, come on to the rehearsal. So I grab my saxophone, hopped in the van, and driving to the rehearsal. We're on our way there, and Greg and Leonard are sitting up front. I'm in the back. And just as they took off, at, you know, after a light change, Greg says, you know what, Leonard, I'm bored. And Leonard says, yo, you want me to take over? So yeah, so while we're rolling down the road, they switch seats. Leonard slips in the driver's seat. Greg just jumps over to the passenger seat. I'm thinking, okay, this is interesting. So we get to the rehearsal, and it's at Leonard's house in the basement. And there was already a guy there sitting at the keyboards. He was actually another saxophone player. And but he was playing keyboards, playing piano, and in the basement. And they had, the, you know, Greg's drum kit was set up and everything. Greg was a drummer. And so they, Julius, the other saxophone player, sitting at the piano, and he says, hey, let's jam a little bit. So I pulled my horn out and got it tuned up. And we started, and I started, you know, just kind of riffing off of some chords that he was playing. And he says, hey, you got a good ear. I said, oh, thanks. And so, anyway, that's how it started. And I, you know, they auditioned me, basically, that little riff session, jam session. And they were pleased. And I joined the band and got to play with them, doing gigs at clubs and bars and places I could not get into otherwise because I was almost 16 years old. But it was I was with those guys for 2 years and had some great, great musical experiences, and never got to any, you know, great shakes or anything. We did some gigs where that were well attended and stuff, and even had kind of a groupie once, but I was too shy to do anything about it. This woman who probably didn't realize, like I said, I looked older, didn't realize I was only 16, just fawning over me and stuff, and I was just like too shy to respond in any sort of positive way. Damn me, knowing what I know now. But it was just such a great thing, and I tell you, music, if you have kids or grandkids, or if you are a young musician or even an older musician who's gotten away from it and have an inkling of going back, or they have some kids that you want to, who have shown an interest in music, encourage it, because music can relate to so many other aspects of life and bring it all together and teach you life lessons. And I learned a lot of life lessons, a lot of good life lessons and some not so good lessons. But you know what? Learning is learning. Good, bad, or indifferent. It's like publicity. It's all learning. And I just had such a great time as a musician. And years later, of course, getting away from playing music, because life is what happens while you're making other plans. One of my former coworkers encouraged me to do, because he was running an internet radio station as a hobby, and he encouraged me to do some DJing online. And which I could do remotely from home. I just set up a, you know, my computer and a microphone and everything, and play some music files. And we played over an audio service that paid the licensing fees as part of the subscription. So I wasn't, you know, cheating any artists out of their royalties, thank goodness. And I did some internet DJing for a few years, and it was a lot of fun. In fact, that's where my email address comes from, leftcoastlunatic@gmail.com, because I called my show Left Coast Lunacy, since I was up here in California on the Left Coast, and it just seemed like an appropriate title, Left Coast Lunacy. And of course, I was your friendly neighborhood Left Coast Lunatic, playing mostly, oh, I'd play anything, frankly, but the home base was R&B and jazz and blues. But I would play some rock and some country and some, oh, whatever, if people had requests, because we had a chat room and people would, you know, request some songs. And I dared them to, you know, say, yeah, I'm Mr. R&B guy, but I will play anything. And I had a lot of fun doing that. And it was a fun creative outlet. I did some silly things in addition to playing music. You know, there was some patter and stuff. I mean, I wasn't Mr. Smooth or anything. I'm certainly proving it from this podcast, right? You'd think I'd be able to talk better than I do. But it was a lot of fun. And I enjoyed it. And I wish there was a way I could get back into that. But the film photography thing just grew out of looking for another creative outlet. And because I had worked in video production, I was familiar with that sort of thing, but not really film photography. And I did mention how I used a film camera once at Disneyland on a vacation and made a mess of things, but it was still a fun experience. And I had a video camcorder that I used to take with me occasionally on location shoots, and when I had some free time, I can remember going around and just shooting things as a tourist on video. And I was essentially doing street photography and not even realizing it, but of course it was video rather than still photography. So everything just kind of brought me to that point where I got the Canon A1 and got into this podcast thing because of someone named Mike Gutterman telling me, well, you know, you should do a podcast, and if you have an interest or a perspective that's unique to film photography, it's all good. And so that's why I decided to give it a try, and I had fun doing it. And I'm hoping that down the road I'll be able to do something again and do something on a more regular basis. But in the meantime, I may possibly do a more music-related podcast, because music is so close to home. And listening to Mike's music just made me realize how much I miss being around music, being involved with music, either from creating it, playing it, or just sharing my eclectic music collection when I was doing the internet radio thing. So anyway, that's my story, and I appreciate you for listening and hanging in, and I appreciate all the kind words and encouragement that I have gotten from folks who have listened to my podcast and know about my plight. Thank you all again, and you'll be hearing from me down the road. I'm not sure exactly when, but I'll come back at you if I think I've got something worth sharing. Take care, everyone. And go out and shoot some great film photography, as Mike and Andre say. And one of these days, I'll be back into it myself. Take care.